The Pre-K through 12 Appropriations Subcommittee will come to order. DJ, will you please call the roll?
Chair Tomko.
Here.
Vice Chair Gustafson.
Here.
Ranking Member Williams.
Here.
Members Alvarez. Gracie Davis.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Daly. Daniels. Dunkley.
Here.
Garcia.
Present.
Gonzalez Pittman.
Present.
Lopez.
Here.
Michael.
Here.
Rizzo.
Here.
Temple.
Here.
There is a quorum present.
A quorum being present, I want to welcome everyone to the Pre-K through 12 Appropriations Subcommittee meeting. Please make sure that cell phones and other communication devices are turned off or are on silent mode. Members, we have two items on our agenda today. We have a presentation on the governor's recommendations for the fiscal year 24 through 25 budget and an update on the implementation of fiscal year 23 through 24 changes to the FEFP. So we will take up the presentation on the governor's recommendations first. And today, members, we have Ms. Shelby Cecil, Policy Coordinator in the Governor's Office of Policy and Budget, and one of our favorites, Commissioner Diaz, with us today to present the governor's recommended fiscal year budget for pre-K through 12. So Commissioner Diaz and Ms. Cecil, you are recognized to present.
Good afternoon, Chair, members. The way we're going to run through this today, I'll hit just some high-level details for you, and then I am going to have the commissioner come up and he'll walk through the more specifics. I hope you like pie charts. We have quite a few to go through, so hopefully that'll help you out as we move along. Like the chair said, I'm Shelby Cecil. I'm in the Governor's Office of Policy and Budget. We work with the Department of Education and the Board of Governors, so we run the full gamut earliest learners to our post-secondary learners. Today we will only be focusing on the your silos, so pre-K through 12. You might have seen these charts in Chris Spencer's presentation to the full committee this week. On the left here is the governor's total recommended budget of $114.4 billion. Our budget is the second largest. It's the orange slice. We come in at about 27% of the total budget, or a little under $31 billion. That's 30.7. On the right is the total general revenue. Of the total budget, it's $46 billion. You can see the much larger orange slice here. The education budget is 47% of GR, so very sizable amount goes towards our learners. I'll keep digging in. Like I said, a lot of pie charts are just going to keep getting more granular for you. The education budget specifically, as I mentioned, is a little less than $31 billion. You can see the largest red slice is public schools. So that's all of the state funding for the FEFP, any of the non-FEFP initiatives as well. Early learning is right there below it, the darker blue slice. It's $1.6 billion, about 5% of the total budget. And then you can see on the right, we have our FCO and higher education budgets. For you guys, what you care about the most here, these are the budgets within your purview. Again, the FEFP state funding is the largest portion. There's about $20.5 billion that are all underneath your purview. FEFP is $15 billion of that. That is just the state funding. It does not account for any local dollars. And we'll work from left to right again. Early learning, $1.6 billion, about 8% of the budget that you guys are over. State Board of Education is the smaller orange slice. It's a little under $350 million. Educational media and technology, you can barely see it if you squint. We're less than 1%. That's about $10 million. And then the last two, the K-12 federal grants is the purple slice. This is just the federal budget authority to spend down your title dollars. Comes in about $2.8 billion. And then the last chunk is your non-FEFP of about $500 million. This is where you have a lot of your specific projects. So all the pie charts I've gone through for you. I'll hit one more thing for you on FTE, and then I'm going to bring up the commissioner. Again, as you might have heard during Chris Spencer's presentation, there is an overall net reduction of 1,000 FTE statewide. Under your purview within the state board, there are 1,046 FTE. I want to point out that within the governor's budget, the Division of Early Learning, we move its administrative operations underneath the State Board of Education to comply with House Bill 419 that was passed a couple of years ago, which is why the total might be a little bit different than what you saw in the GAA this year. They had 98 FTE that we moved over. So starting with that total, we then reduced 41 positions. One was included in the department's legislative budget request. They were just reducing that 98 FTE down to 97. And then the 40 are within the governor's recommendation. Chronically vacant positions, 2 years or older, they had not been filled. So we recommend to the department that they reduce the 40 FTE. We did not specify by position number or title for the department. We're giving them maximum flexibility to determine which positions they would like to remove. We did only reduce the salaries and benefits by the 8 oldest positions. Again, it's just an encouragement to the department to try to better align your resources. There are 8 new positions included, so we have a net decrease of 33. The increase of 8 are some of the positions that the department requested in their LBR to implement prior legislation that's passed. We've had a lot of school safety initiatives, so we're trying to bolster the Office of School Safety, the Charter School Review Commission, a couple of initiatives like that. So overall, that net of 33 FTE decrease. So our total proposed FTE for them is 1,013. And now I'm going to kick it over to the commissioner.
Thank you for the welcome, Madam Chair, and it's great to be here before your committee. As you know, it's near and dear to my heart. We'll start with the investments in our youngest learners, such as those enrolled in school readiness and voluntary pre-kindergarten VPK programs. The budget includes a total of almost $456 million for Florida's VPK program to help prepare more than 138,000 4- and 5-year-old students for kindergarten. This investment includes $450 million for VPK operations, including increasing the base student allocation to $3,096 per student for the school year program and $2,646 per student for the summer program. That is an increase of respectively $155 per student and $135 per student. This also includes $6 million for the establishment of the VPK Summer Bridge Program for students who score below the 10th percentile on the second administration of progress monitoring. The budget also maintains funding for the following initiatives: $10 million for the TEACH program to provide scholarships for early childhood professionals to work toward earning a degree or credentials in early childhood education, $3.9 million for the HIPPIE program to deliver high-quality school readiness curriculum directly to families to strengthen the early literacy schools of at-risk children ages 3 to 5, $4.5 million for the Help Me Grow to connect children and families with information, resources, and developmental services to enhance health, behavior, and learning in the development of young children. The K-12 Public Education FEFP. Under Governor DeSantis' leadership, Florida has become the national leader in education. Florida is ranked number one overall in education and number one in education freedom for the second year in a row, number one in higher education for nearly a decade. And this budget proposal continues to propel Florida's education forward by investing in our families. Governor DeSantis continues to put Florida's families first. Under his leadership, Florida has implemented the most expansive school choice policies in the nation. The budget continues empowering parents, students, and teachers to provide students with the education that meets their specific needs. That is why the budget recommendation provides a historic investment in our K-12 education system of $27.8 billion. This includes funding to ensure Florida students are afforded every opportunity necessary to get an education that best fits their needs. This includes the highest per student investment of $8,842 in the FEFP, which includes an increase of $175 over fiscal year 23-24. Governor DeSantis once again acknowledging our hardworking educators by investing an additional $200 million for a total of $1.25 billion for salary increases for teachers and other instructional personnel. Under the governor's proposal, school districts will be provided maximum flexibility to utilize the additional $200 million in funding to provide salary increases in a manner that best fits the school district's needs. The budget also includes increases in key areas of our FEFP budget: an increase of $107 in the base student allocation, or BSA, of which $200 million of the $625.3 million in funding generated must be used to provide salary increases. An increase of $20 million for a total of $180 million to ensure our students' mental health needs are being met. An increase of $40 million for a total of $290 million for safe school initiatives. And an increase of $20 million for a total of $555.8 million for student transportation. Governor DeSantis continues to put Florida's families first. Under his leadership, Florida has implemented the most expansive school choice policies in the nation. And this budget continues empowering students, parents, and teachers to provide with the education that meets their specific needs. Under school safety, the budget includes $551.5 million in the following school safety initiatives. $290 million, an increase of $40 million for safe schools allocation. $180 million, or an increase of $20 million for the mental health allocation. $6.5 million is maintained for the Guardian program. $5.5 million is maintained for the youth mental health awareness and assistance training. $845,000 is maintained for the Florida Safe Schools Assessment Tool. $3 million is maintained for the Centralized Integrated Data Repository. $42 million is maintained for public school hardening grants. $6.4 million is maintained to continue providing school districts access to a mobile panic alert system that is capable of connecting multiple first responder agencies. $5.8 million is maintained for the statewide transparency tool. $6.5 million is maintained to implement safe school technology systems. And $5 million is provided for district threat management coordinators. In the area of civic engagement, the budget provides the following civic initiatives. $1.5 million is maintained to support and continue expanding the Florida Civics and Debate Initiative. $3.5 million is maintained to districts to improve civic literacy for Florida students using regional literacy captains and coaches. $2.8 million is provided for Civics Professional Development Initiative to support professional development events focused on new civics and government standards. And $45 million is provided for the Florida Civic Seal of Excellence program to allow 15,000 educators to receive a $3,000 stipend upon completion and earning of the Florida Seal of Excellence endorsement. The computer science professional development and bonuses, the budget maintains $10 million to certify teachers to teach computer science and provide bonuses to teachers who hold educator certificates or industry certifications in computer science. Heroes in the classroom, the budget maintains $10 million for a first-come, first-served recruitment bonus for retired military veterans, retired first responders who commit to joining the teaching profession. Heroes are required to teach a minimum of 2 years. A bonus of $4,000 for 2,000 military veterans and retired first responders, an additional $1,000 for 1,000 individuals teaching in critical shortage areas. It waives the initial certification and exam fees for first responders, which is a current benefit that military veterans and their spouses already receive. Thank you for the opportunity to present the highlights of Governor DeSantis' education budget recommendation. This budget represents the governor's commitment to Florida families, students, and educators. His investments indicate support for our earliest through adult learners. We look forward to working with you and your teams as you craft Florida's fiscal year budget for 24-25. Thank you very much. We'll be ready for questions.
Thank you so much, Commissioner and Ms. Cecil, for being with us today. Members, I'm going to open the floor to some questions. Representative Kennedy.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you so much for being here today. I just have a question related to the reduction of the 41 FTE positions that were mentioned, and I think that was back on slide 6, related to chronic vacancies, 2 years and older. And what I thought I heard you say was that there were not positions specified, but that the department had flexibility. And what I was curious about was related to the discretionary funds for pay increases and whether those positions are ones where that discretionary pay increase, is that a part of those positions that were cut? How does that pay increase impact? And of course, I'm concerned about recruitment and retention, making sure that you have the resources you need. Thank you.
You're recognized. Oh, Ms. Cecil, you're recognized.
Thank you. The beauty of the way that we did it is we provided the department maximum flexibility. So if they included in a position in their discretionary pay plan that we might have encouraged them to reduce due to its vacancy rate, they don't have to take that specific position if they have a plan for it. So while the 40 that we might have recommended or encouraged the department to reduce, they are not bound by that. We gave them the most flexibility to determine what they need at the time. Some of these positions, while chronically vacant, I'm sure if they went back and looked, they might just be a little more difficult to recruit. So there might be a chance where they say, you know what, we did want to put this on our discretionary pay plan. We're working on it, so we're not actually going to reduce that. Thank you for the recommendation.
Follow-up? Seeing no follow-up. Representative Lopez, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you so much, Commissioner, for this great presentation. I wasn't able to catch each and every one of the categories on the school safety initiatives that you spelled out. I would ask if I could get a list of those with the amounts. And could you also let us know which ones, how much of the amount of the $551 million is being spent on new initiatives versus the initiatives that we've always had in place?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And we could absolutely get you that. And as you know, the legislature over the last 5 years since the first school safety bill has continued to move and evolve on, and we're thankful for that, not only with policy improvements, but also with funding and new technology that's going to allow us to continue to lead the country in school safety. Something you cannot guarantee, but as a former baseball player, they like to play the percentages. The more that we can do to prepare and see and be ahead of the curve, the safer our students are. So we can absolutely get you that.
Representative Temple, you're recognized in question.
Thank you, Chair. With the governor's recommendation with the FEFP and the increase in salary, the $200 million, can you elaborate on how that will be implemented at the district level?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, and as all of you know, those salaries at the end of the day are determined through collective bargaining at the local level. If you go back to the history of this, and it did not exist before Governor DeSantis and his proposal initially to put this at the forefront, you had a decision to increase the entry salary or the beginning salary, which pushed up to $47,500. Where when you do that, it is inevitably going to create some compression issues, and that was something that the governor was aware of and has transitioned to make it more flexible to allow districts to be able to do this. You can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs early on, obviously, but as you move toward this and you provide that maximum flexibility, it's going to allow districts to deal with, as we said, how it best fits their district. It does, however, go through the collective bargaining process. However, I do want to highlight, again, that investment of $1.25 billion that was not there before, that certainly provides the district the resources and now the flexibility to be able to handle that and continue to improve those teacher salaries.
Ranking Member Williams, you're recognized.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Thank you very much, Commissioner, for this presentation. But my question is for Shebby. On page 6 also, the law of Florida 239 conference report, the report ended with 940 on page 51, but we're starting with 1,046. Can you explain that to me a little bit?
You're recognized.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am. So a couple of years ago, House Bill 419 was passed that moved the Office of Early Learning within the Department of Education as the Division of Early Learning. So the governor's recommended budget rolls all of the administrative funding from the Division of Early Learning to the State Board of Education. So all of the positions associated with that budget rolled into the State Board of Education's budget. So the 940 added the additional positions from the Division of Early Learning.
So the
follow-up.
Sorry, Madam Chair.
No, you're good.
The 41 that the FTE is reducing, so we're not reducing the 41, we're only going to reduce 33.
You're recognized.
Yes, ma'am. And I'd like to clarify, and thank you for bringing this up. I should have clarified this earlier. The 41 positions that were recommended to be reduced are only coming from the State Board of Education proper. We're not reducing them from the Division of Early Learning outside of the one FTE that they recommended in their LBR be reduced.
Follow up? Absolutely.
So each division district is actually allowed to pick and choose the different positions that they want to delete?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. We're providing the executive staff at the department the maximum flexibility on where they would like to take those positions. Again, we recommended the oldest 40, but they're not beholden to that. A lot of the agencies throughout the governor's budget received the same process, and that they were recommended to reduce the earliest or the oldest positions, but provide the agency the flexibility to choose which specific positions to take.
Vice Chair Gossett-Zeman, you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I just wondered with regards to page 9, regarding promoting the computer science, how much of this was actually new for fiscal year 24 to 25?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is actually an initiative that the governor led on a few years ago, so it's actually been in the budget for a couple of years.
Okay, very good. Follow-up.
And
similarly, regarding on the same page, the Heroes in the Classroom bonus initiative, that was appropriated in the current fiscal year, and do you know how much has been disbursed to date?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And
it's
on the next page. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So the Heroes in the Classroom, to the date of the printing, to make sure that we're as accurate as possible, the following six districts have been issued awards recently. So Baker County has $4,000, Citrus County $25,000, Henry County $5,000, Putnam County $5,000, Seminole County $4,000, Orange County $9,000, and we've also had the following districts apply: Clay, Miami-Dade, Osceola, St. John's, and Volusia.
Thank you. Follow-up?
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir. I would appreciate, would it be possible to get a copy of that breakdown? You had
sure.
quite a number of
Absolutely.
Counties listed. Thank you. And similarly, is this a recurring or a non-recurring line item?
You're recognized.
It should be a non-recurring item, Representative.
Thank you very much.
Any further questions? Representative Michael for a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Commissioner, and thank you for this presentation. I believe on slide, if we can go to slide 7, I have a question. With key investments in early learning, how many students is it anticipated that the VPK Summer Bridge program will serve? And then I have a second part to that question.
Absolutely. You're recognized.
So let me clarify the question. Are you asking a two-part, the total number of students or just the Summer Bridge?
Just the Summer. I'm sorry, Madam Chair.
You're recognized for clarification.
Thank you. The Summer Bridge program?
So the Summer Bridge program, which is a recommendation of $6 million for the establishment of the program, is a new program that would serve students who score below the 10th percentile on the second administration of progress monitoring. So we don't have an exact number, as it would be a new program, and it depends on, obviously, the performance of the students. But this goes along with the theme that the legislature has taken that we're very grateful for over the last few years in a heavy investment in early learning. We have seen more and more that even though that indicator in third grade is where we know the results show, that's where you start to have that gap where you can't bring those students back. Studies continue to show that the earlier and earlier that these investments are made and we can get these students up, that it provides an easier path, not only for the student, but also you can't expect at the end of the day to put all that pressure on the third grade teacher when you have the progress monitoring now in place, all of these investments that are helping move those students to be school-ready. I think prior to the legislature making those decisions, a lot of folks were concerned about the quality of the early learning and before what was going on in those schools. But now with Governor DeSantis's push, the legislature's funding, we have been able to input that progress monitoring. We know where students are, we have data, and we're pushing them forward to make sure that they're ready.
Follow up?
Yes, I do have a follow up. So the $6 million, how was that determined? Was that just an estimate?
You're recognized.
I'll pass that one on to Shelby.
You're recognized.
Chair, if I may, we do have some supporting documentation. Representative, it is not in my binder with me. Do you mind if we send that over to you afterwards? And I would like to clarify, as part of this as well, each coalition that is going to be eligible for this is going to get the same base amount, and then they'll receive a per FTE dollar amount on top of that. That way you don't have any district who, let's say they only have five or six students, and they're just receiving funding just for those students. We want to make sure all of our coalitions are starting out at the same playing field. But we'll absolutely share that breakout with you.
Ranking Member Williams, I'm so sorry, you are recognized.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Commissioner Diaz, has you heard of any talk on increasing of the hours for the VPK students per day or per month that they actually receive?
You're recognized.
Madam Chair, I personally have not heard any talks, but I know that there probably have been some conversations among the legislature, and then I would ask Shelby to chime in if she's got any further information on that.
Representative Kennedy, you're recognized in a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just back, I believe it was Ranking Member Williams that was talking a minute ago about those FTE positions. I just had an additional follow-up on that. The budget recommends reducing, we talked about, by 41, and then after the eight new ones, we get a net of 33. Can you help us understand what that reduction actually saves the state in terms of dollars?
You're recognized.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am. So the way that we went about it is because we were providing the department eight new positions, we took the funding and rate associated with the eight oldest positions. So just so there's a little bit of an overall net decrease, the amount that we took is a little bit less than what we appropriated for the eight new positions. And Chair, if I may, I did misspeak earlier on the titles of the new positions that we're recommending for the eight FTE. Give me just a second. I'll flip back over to it. Two FTE will be for procurement and contracts, two for financial aid. As we've seen, we have created a lot of new financial aid programs the last couple of years, two for the Charter School Review Commission, and then two are going to be in the higher ed workforce realm.
Follow up. Representative Lopez, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Commissioner, I noticed that we have a $20 million increase in the mental health allocation. I recently received a listing of the total dollars that are allocated under this mental health allocation currently to all of the school districts. I was curious if you collect from the districts the detailed budgets. So for instance, in Miami-Dade County, it's almost $18 million that they get in terms of an allocation for mental health, but I don't have like their detailed budget of how they're spending that money. Do you all collect that? And if you do, can you get that to us?
Seeing a lot of head shaking yes in the audience, so I'm assuming that answer is yes, and they will get that to you.
We can absolutely get it.
Representative Dunkley, you're recognized in a question.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation this afternoon. And I think maybe the question is for Shelby. On the VPK, the funding for that we currently have on the operational funding portion, is there a broken down, do you know how it's broken down across the counties that are in the early learning space for the funds and how it's broken down?
You're recognized.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Based off of the enrollment conference that we had, the per coalition breakout is included, so we can share that information. They should all also be listed out. No, they are all listed out by coalition. Yes, ma'am. We can share everything.
Great. Well, seeing no... Oh, one more question. Representative Michael, you're recognized. Absolutely.
Thank you for your patience, Madam Chair, Commissioner. I just want to thank you and commend you all for what you have presented here. Commissioner, you take a lot of heat for just all kind of things that just come, and I appreciate that. And we do. I know we acknowledge it and we appreciate it. I had a question. You mentioned about fees that were waived for military spouses, military members and the spouses. Under which initiative was that? I'm kind of hoping it wasn't the Heroes in the Classroom initiative. I think we were on slide 9 when you were talking about it, because you didn't. I didn't hear Duval called in there anywhere. Thank you.
So
you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It is in the Heroes, and again, there's an addition there of the first responders, which would be added to the Heroes in the Classroom for that waiving. I did not recall on the list. I think you're correct. I did not hear myself call out Duval. I don't know if I would have emphasized or pronounced that correctly to your liking, but it was not on the list.
Seeing no further questions, I just want to thank you both for being with us today and for your presentation on the governor's recommended budget. We will look forward to working with you as we continue this process and appreciate your time.
Thank you very much to Madam Chair and the committee. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Well, members, we will move into our update portion of the committee on the implementation of the changes made to the fiscal year 23 through 24 FEFP. As we enter interim subcommittee meetings and get ready for the start of the 24 session, thought it would be important to provide a brief update on the implementation on all of the big changes that we made to the FEFP last year. Or last session, it was not last year, I'm sorry. For the past 6 months, school districts have received their FEFP distribution based on the changes we made in our conforming bill, and I'm pleased to report that it has been quiet, which is a good sign. The school districts are individually and collectively an engaged and vocal constituent, so if there was a problem on the issue, I'm sure we would have heard about it by now. So this is really good news, and our FEFP is now aligned to allow parents to make choices with those choices to ensure that the funds follow their students, which was our goal. But in spite of the quietness during the interim, our staff did a couple of things. They triple-checked all applicable legislation that passed in the 24 session, and they chatted with stakeholders in an effort to determine if there were any potential FEFP issues for the 25 session. Their review produced only the following items. First, as we heard at last week's meeting, the Tallahassee Collegiate Academy is our state's first college-sponsored charter school and thus a part of the state's public school system. For fiscal year 23 through 24, this charter school is funded outside of the FEFP. And however, for fiscal year 24 through 25, it would be that my recommendation that all charter schools, regardless of the sponsor, are treated the same and are funded within the FEFP. Therefore, our staff is working with the DOE and Tallahassee Community College to make sure this change for the House's proposed fiscal year 24 through 25 budget. Second, last session legislation was passed that established the Florida Scholars Academy. This academy is established in the Department of Juvenile Justice, or DJJ, to deliver educational opportunities to students served in residential commitment programs in the state. Funding for this academy is provided in the DJJ's budget. As a result, we are working with both DJJ and DOE to identify the DJJ FTE who will no longer be funded in the FEFP so that we can remove the FTE from our fiscal year 24 through 25 FEFP. Third, the St. Lucie School District and the Lab School at FAU St. Lucie notified us that the governance of this school will be transferred to the school district. Staff is working with DOE to ensure that the FTE associated with this school will be transferred to the school district for funding in the fiscal year 24 through 25 FEFP. And finally, staff has spent a good part of the interim keeping track of the funding of the Family Empowerment Scholarships, or the FES. As you know, during our special session, House Bill 3C passed, which essentially adjusted the cap for the FES UA scholarships for the current fiscal year. Parents have until this Friday, December 15th, to submit a completed application for the FES scholarship. After the 15th, both the scholarship funding organizations and the DOE will review all timely submitted applications to verify their eligibility for current year funding. Completion of this verification process will determine the new UA cap for fiscal year 24 through 25. Once this is determined, the data needed for the January FTE estimating conference can be developed. And finally, keeping track of the FES scholarships includes the number of transportation scholarships that have been funded. You'll recall that an eligible use of the FTC and FES EO scholarships is to fund transportation costs for a parent who selects a public school that is not his or her student's assigned school. Staff has been reviewing the sustainability of the current funding model for these scholarships. So members, as we move forward into the 24th session, I am honestly very proud to report that there will be no substantial issues that need to change in the FEFP. We will continue to work on these four ancillary items as we move into the start of session in January. And with that, I would say, please come see myself or Denise as we work through this process. We will all be very hands-on as we have been in the last legislative session. So this concludes our committee agenda. And if there is no further business, Representative Lopez moves we rise. And without objection, our meeting is adjourned.